I'm Marco Werman, and it is The World for a Thursday. America first, President Trump keeps telling us. But if you look at the reach of the U.S. military, it remains very much outward-looking. Here's a reminder, courtesy of CNN.
We have breaking news coming in from the Pentagon. U.S. military forces have now come under hostile fire in the African country of Niger. Let's go straight to our Pentagon correspondent, Barbara
Yes,
Starr,
in Niger, West Africa, the U.S. military is on the ground. And yesterday, three U.S. special forces were killed in an ambush there. Two others were injured. The Americans, all green berets, were training troops from Niger in counterterrorism operations when they came under attack. We start the show today with what U.S. special forces are actually doing in Niger. For that, we turn to J. Peter Pham. He's a vice president at the Atlantic Council's Africa Center in Washington.
U.S. troops have been deployed in Niger since late 2015, when President Obama sent approximately 350 U.S. troops to the country to help with counterterrorism, primarily with respect to not only al-Qaeda and other extremist groups coming out of the Sahara, but also in the fight against Boko Haram coming up from the southern part of the country from Nigeria.
So do we know at this point who fired on these troops?
The area in which these troops were operating is an area that's been plagued in recent months with a lot of competition actually between Islamist terrorist groups, each trying to show itself as the better, more lethal, more deadly force.
Interesting notion that these groups could be competing to show how tough they are. How many U.S. troops are there in total in Niger?
Back of the envelope calculation, we imagine there are probably several hundred. The Obama administration communicated that they were deploying approximately 350. That number has not been lowered officially since then. These troops are not only special operations forces that are engaged in training the local African partner militaries, but also two U.S. Air Force Expeditionary Air Base squadrons, one that's running the drone base operating out of Niamey, the capital of Niger, and another which is building a new base in Agadez in the central part of the country.
So it seems the U.S. military presence in West Africa is really robust these days. But when it comes to U.S. diplomacy, there is a noticeable vacuum. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has left unfilled many top spots at the State Department. There is a major exodus of experienced diplomats, including people with long Africa experience. How much does that concern you?
We do have U.S. ambassadors present in these countries. Several of them I know very well personally, very experienced people serving their country very effectively. So the issue in this region is not so much an issue of what is going on or not going on currently with policy here in Washington, but more the dynamics on the ground there.
When it comes to policy in Washington, though, there is still no Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs or even Principal Deputy. So do you support the Trump White House in this approach to Africa?
It's desirable to get people in place, but you know, it's worth recalling that other administrations have also taken a long time.
So your name often comes up in discussions about who the Trump White House is considering for the top Africa posts of the State Department. If you were to join the State Department, I'm just curious, what would be more important to your Africa policy? Concerns about democracy and human rights or providing access to U.S. businesses, which seemed pretty important when Donald Trump spoke to the U.N.?
All the above, because without security, there can be no development. But without development, there is no sustainable and stable security possible. One has to have the private sector to do that. There's no country that ever relied on foreign aid to develop itself. It has to be, business has to play a very important role. So all the above.
When Trump spoke at the UN to that gathering of African leaders and business people, he said, "My friends go to Africa to get rich." How did that strike you?
Well, I think the president was wearing, it's the private sector that's going to drive opportunities. Africa has 11 of the 20 fastest growing economies in the world are in Africa today. China and other actors recognize this and are investing heavily in Africa. In fact, I would argue the reason we're talking about the Sahel, it's underdevelopment and lack of economic opportunity and development, which is a major driver of conflict. And if anything, it needs more private sector investment, not less of it, if it's going to overcome the cycle of violence and conflict.
J. Peter Pham is a vice president at the Atlantic Council's Africa Center in Washington. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.